Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Everybody doing good?
Yes.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's turn there for a moment, please. Theme verse. This is probably one of the first verses I ever remember memorizing when I came to my first fellowship and, you know, talking with the people of God and taking all kinds of classes. This was like one of the foundational scriptures that I think we all kind of gravitated to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, which Bart did a great job displaying what that was about. And in all your ways, we ought to what? Acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. The word that really stuck out to me was this word, acknowledge. You know, when you sit and read something time after time after time, it begins to lose its impact. You know, you sort of take for granted what it is to really look at the word and let it speak to you. Let God work in your heart and in your life. As we read through the verses we're going to go through today, I want you to think about that as the main thing. What is God saying to you? How is he hitting your heart and your life as we read? This is the day in the Word, right? Day in the Word. Let God communicate to you. We're going to talk about it a little later on. He's given us his Spirit. We have everything. We lack nothing. The question is, do we believe it? The question is, do we acknowledge? To acknowledge is to recognize the authority and the rights of the individual who is speaking. In all thy ways, acknowledge who? Who is him? Where to acknowledge his authority and his right, and he will give us the understanding we need. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The whole goal of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is so that God can direct your what? Your life, your journey. Why are we here? Why do we come to fellowship week after week, meeting after meeting? What is the point? To have the God that we worship and love, that has given us so much, to allow him to direct our path. And by acknowledging who God is, what he has done, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he is going to do, makes the whole point of why we do what we do. In all thy way, acknowledge him. We're to trust in the Lord. Trust without faith, dead. We don't only trust God, we have faith that he's going to do what he said. Otherwise, what? Bart shared a few minutes ago, God is not a man that he should what? There are two things that it's impossible for God to do, and there are probably more, but two main things that I like to tell people. I say, number one, God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Number two, he will not violate your free will. He will absolutely not. We are made in his image. He gave us free will, the ability to choose, and he will not violate your free will, and he absolutely will not lie. Two things that God can't do. So when you're talking to people and they say, oh, God could do anything, well, you know, there are two things that God can't do. Get their attention and bring it to their minds. In all our ways, we ought to acknowledge, recognize who God is, recognize his authority and his ability to do what he says he's going to do. Why? So that he can direct your journey. Each of us has a journey. Each of us has a path. Yours is different than mine, mine than yours, Ralph's from George's. We all have a journey. As we trust the Lord, put our faith in him, acknowledge who he is, we can be successful in that journey. but staying on the path and leaning not to our what? Own understanding. How many times have you hear people say, ah, I got this. I'm good. I got this. Oh, really? There are a lot of people in the Bible who kind of went down that road, as Bart so wonderfully shared. But you don't have to go far. Go to Genesis. What did Cain do? He was a great example of doing it his way. I got this. He ended up killing his brother. Well, that's great. Really great. The first murderer in the Bible. We don't take matters in our own hands. We reverence the Lord through the wisdom given in his word, which also enables us to avoid unnecessary stumbling blocks and sin. To acknowledge him. The point is so that he can lead us, take us where he wants to go, not necessarily where we want to go, which is a big difference. You know, it says in, go to 1 John for a moment. I want to touch on something before I go there. Go to 1 John chapter 5, please. We're going to come back to the Old Testament, but 1 John chapter 5. I wanted to read this with you because it's key in understanding a lot about what God has in mind for us. 1 John, please, chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 14. Well, I'm going to start in verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to what? According to what? He'll hear us. Does it say your will? Does it say your desires? It's his will. God will answer the prayer, direct your life, if we channel and focus our energy based upon his will. Very important thing to keep in mind. Go to Psalms, please. 37. I'm glad that Bart mentioned Psalms because we're going to be staying a lot in this psalm because there are so many wonderful things here that pertain to trusting God, acknowledging God, and allowing him to direct our path. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of your heart. We just read in 1 John, according to whose will? According to whose desires? Not yours, not mine. I once upon a time thought this, oh, great. I can get the car I want. I can get the job I want. I can get this or I can get that. Wrong. We just read in 1 John, all things that pertain to life and God, his will. His will. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's going to place those things within your life that will direct you. And as we acknowledge it, acknowledging his authority, he will direct the path. It's about his will, not mine or anyone else's. We are here today with this day in the Word to understand more about what it is having God direct us in the way we should go. We want his protection. We want his provision. We want his blessing. We want to know that what we share or what we communicate to people when we bring up the Bible, that what we're telling him is not our opinion, not about us. It's not as we trust and have faith that God will do what he says he will do because he will acknowledge. As we acknowledge, we bring to others the most wonderful news they perhaps have ever heard in their life. We bring to them the Creator of heaven and earth, who has given us everything through His Son, which we're going to get to in a little while. But this is what it is to acknowledge the authority, to acknowledge Him as the one who will direct your path and bring you where you need to be and avoid a lot of unnecessary pain, sorrow, discomfort, maybe even financial ruin if you let it go that far. But there are protecting things that we can do for our life as we stay on the right path, as we stay on the course. Verse 5 of Psalm 37, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in who? Him. And He will do it. Trust, have faith. You're going to hear this a lot this morning. Trust is to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word. To a what? Acknowledge. Acknowledge God's authority, acknowledge His word, and allow Him to direct your path. Trust in Him also. He will do it. That's a promise. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. This is a tough one because, you know, we want things maybe sometimes when we want them. Or we want the results when we want it. And here, the trust, the faith, is waiting sometimes. To wait upon the Lord, you know, sometimes God will build your trust and He will build your faith just by waiting. What are you going to do? Are we going to take matters in our own hands, like Bart was sharing with us? Or are we going to wait upon the Lord? This is a real important key in building trust in your life. Building trust and faith. Faith, you have to have faith that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. He's not a man that He should what? We just heard it. Two things He can't do, remember? Waiting patiently sometimes is some of the best thing that you can do to build your trust and not let go. He's going to do it. God is going. You know what? Even if I got to die trying, I'm going to wait. Because He is not a man that He should lie. He's going to do it. Great verse. Loaded. We're going to start a section here that I think is really, really incredible. Go back to verse 3 for a second. Now, you know what? Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't get upset if it only leads to evil doing. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Be angry and what? Sin not. Right? Remember? Be angry and sin not. There are two types of anger, we know. There's that anger that's within, you're upset, and orge and thumos, I believe, are the two. Orge is the anger we're to have. Like if you see something that's not right, it should bother you. There are a lot of things going on in this world that bother me, and I'm sure they bother you too. But we don't what? Take matters in our own hands, and we don't thumos sin. That's the exhortation. There are two types of things that we should do. And it says it right here so wonderfully. Look at that again. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't get upset. It only leads to evil doing. And the evildoers are going to be cut off. But those that what? Wait, trust for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And as I was going through these verses, I noticed that the word land is used a lot in this psalm. And I said to myself, what is the Lord trying to show me here? They were going to inherit the land. Is it just a bunch of dirt? I mean, there's a ground. What was God really promising them? The land, and I know you could probably go to the word find these, it was a safe place, a place to raise your family. The land was the place where they grow your food. It's an area where you work. It's a place where you could worship freely. God bless the United States of America, because we can worship freely. We all know the horrors that are going on around the world where they cannot worship in their land. We can. It's a place where you have potential. Those that wait upon the Lord, it says here in verse 9, will inherit the land. It's a lot bigger than just growing crops, people. It really is huge. And it's used 6 times in this one psalm. I think God is trying to make a point. And that's what really struck me when I was reading these verses. It's so huge to put our trust in a God who not only loves us, but guarantees to be there for us. He's going to be there for you. He was there with David. He'll be there for you. It's just a wonderful reality to know. And how do we do it? By acknowledging him. To have him direct the path. Your walk. My walk. That's what this is about. It's about your individual place, your individual walk, so that your life can have impact on the people that you meet and the loved ones that you love, that you want to see come to the Word of God, because you know what the end game is. You know what the end result is. And Jesus said, many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Want to sleep up at night? Want to stay up at night? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? You need nobody else. Acknowledge him. Let him direct the path. Wait upon him if you have to. Verse 16, Psalm 37. Better is a little for the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. The arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord will sustain the righteous, those who trust, those who have faith. The Lord will sustain. He will carry you through. This is the great message of today. The Lord carrying you through, seeing you through by acknowledging him and letting him direct your walk, my walk, the path. Wonderful. Verse 21, the wicked borrow, don't pay back. But the righteous, those who trust, are gracious and give. For those blessed by him will inherit what? The land. There's another one. They're going to inherit that safe place. They're going to inherit that place where it's prosperous. They're going to inherit that place where you're dreams can be supported by a God who loves you and wants you to succeed, wants you to prosper. Great stuff. Verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he what? Delights in his way. God delights in his people. He delights in his children when they're doing what they do for him. Putting him first, acknowledging him, acknowledging the authority that he has, acknowledging all that he has to give us is so big. It's huge, huge. Verse 28, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. Hey, that's you and me. They are what? Preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit what? The land, that safe place. There it is again. Inherit the land and dwell in it forever. We have a future. We have a hope. Because of what our Lord has done, what God has done in Christ has enabled your place and mine forever. In a land where there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow. I can't even imagine what that's like. It doesn't compute. I'm human. I know it's going to change so much. We're not even going to recognize who we were anymore. I'm psyched. I mean, that is something to really, you know, get excited about. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that God has the ability. He has the authority to do it. He's the creator. He did it for this reason, because he so loved humanity that he sent his son to substitute your life and mine. We have to acknowledge it. Have to have faith. You have to have faith. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Just to say you trust something, you can't turn around and say, well, I hope he does it. But I trust him, he'll do it. Double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. I mean, you know, we're not talking about anything new here. Really not. We're talking about stuff that many of us have read over and over and over. But what is the point of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? That he may direct your path, your journey, your impact on the people you meet, the ones that you talk to every day. Or maybe not every day, but on a even if it's standing in the grocery line and saying, you know what, I just have a God. Why don't you go ahead of me? Make God's presence known. We don't realize the little things that we can do that can make a person walk out and say, gee, that was nice. Where did that come from? He'll direct your path. That's part of the path. It's not so small. My word is going to accomplish that which what? I please and prosper whereunto I send it. We speak it. We're the one. We're the sent ones. It comes in many forms. It's not just quoting verses. It's deeds. It's action. It's life. It's the journey. It's the path. We acknowledge that God can work in our lives. Now we got to just do it. Got to do it. Verse 34, wait, trust for the Lord, and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit what? The land. There it is again. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and he is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because what? They make him refuge. They take him refuge. We refuge. That's to trust. That's to have faith. Trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, committing your way to the Lord, rest in the Lord. We acknowledge him and he will direct the path. This should be the goal. This should be the goal of every Christian believer, to allow God to direct their path. Not just about quoting verses, not about showing up at a meeting. It's not about how much you can do or not academically. It's your life. It's your path. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him, and he will make that journey evident to others. He will make it a light to those who really want answers. You know, people don't always tell you the truth. I mean, hello, big revelation. How are you? I'm fine. Damn miserable. How many times have we said it? How you doing? I'm doing great. You should only know what I'm going through. We hide. We hide. We hide from people, don't we? We hide. But guess what? They're hiding from us. That's why it's so important to speak, even though, no matter what it looks like, just speak it. Live it. Live it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Just live and trust and acknowledge. And that journey will take on a side that you never thought possible. I find myself in places. 2 weeks ago, little story. I got a job. I'm a photographer, and I'm freelancing. And I got a job from a woman that was receiving an award at the United Nations. The celebration of peace and hope. There's this big thing at the UN. She goes, I need you to come and photograph. I said, okay, got it. So I go, and I'm there, and there's all these people in the room. I mean, they're coming from all over the country, all over the world, some of them. And here they are celebrating the day of peace and hope. I said, okay, this ought to be great. This ought to be beautiful. Let's see where this goes. I'm at the UN, which was hell to get into. Another story where you need so much security that they basically want to, you know. But anyway, I'm there. And I'm listening to these people talk. And they're talking about how hope begins with a good conscience. And I'm like, what? And peace will come with those who have a good conscience and are aware of the people around them. And all this stuff. And I'm saying to the person that I went with, and she's a believer. I said, does anybody tell them about the Prince of Peace? Never once did they mention Jesus. Never once did they mention the Bible. But here they are, and the United Nations is recognizing this group as celebrating the International Day. They recognize the International Day of Peace and Hope, and there's not a word about the Prince of Peace and the one that's going to bring salvation to planet Earth. Now, on the outside in the world, it looks pretty good. Oh, we're really moving forward. You know, we got this one's my nose. I walked out of there and I said, you know what? They're more lost than we think. And this is the United Nations. I mean, this is like, you know, this is a big deal. There are things going on that they don't have a clue of the spiritual insight and the spiritual things that you and I know to be true. They've been proven. And God says what he said in the past. He's doing what he's doing in the future, and he's going to be the God of right now when we let him, past, present, and future. In all our ways, we have to acknowledge him. Look at Psalm 118 for a moment. I like the Psalms. I'm glad Bart brought it up because it's kind of a great segue, thank you, Bart, right into this teaching. The Psalms are wonderful. They're a wonderful place to go. Psalm 118. I just want to really touch on this real quick. Verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. For in my distress I called upon the Lord, and he answered me and set me in a large place. Verse 6. The Lord is for me. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge. It is better to trust. It is better to commit. It is better to wait on the what? Lord, than to what? Trust in man. That's what the UN is doing. They're trusting in man. That's what Bart was talking about, taking matters in your own hands. You see the difference? And the world elevates them. The United Nations, New York. They're further away from it than we can ever imagine. Those that trust in him, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in what? Princes. Worldly authority. How much is the media trying to suck you in every day into believing they're doing the right thing? You've got the Bible. You've got God's holy word. Filter it through that. That's why I love Charlie Kirk. He went out into the world and he challenged people to look at God and not through the lens of society. He was a man who stood up. He stood up for what he believed in, and his base was the Bible. He loved the Lord. We have great examples that are doing it right in front of our eyes. We're to be courageous, acknowledge what we have, and stand up when we can. I'm not saying everybody should be a Charlie Kirk, don't get me wrong, but he was a man who did it. And I condemn those that condemn him. I'm saying it out openly. Because he was a man who loved the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But we have to draw near. It's up to us to draw near to God. It's up to us to seek him. Seek the Lord, to make the Lord refuge, desire his path, and trust in him. Go to James, please. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hebrews, James. James chapter 4. Verse 6. Talking about the Lord here. He gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That you could trust in for sure. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will what? Exalt you. He'll pick you up. The Lord will pick us as we draw near to him. He will pick us up. In order for us to stay the course and be on the right path, we need the guidance. We need the counsel of our Father in heaven. There are three main avenues that we can do. One is to ask. One is to seek. And one is to what? Ask, seek, and knock are avenues that we take to allow God into our lives. This is how we draw near to him. And I want to sort of, with this last concept, bring to you the ability that we have that wasn't available when the Psalms were written and that wasn't available basically before our Lord came on the scene. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I want you to think, as we read these records in John 14, everything that we've been talking about, and how much of an edge we have today that they didn't have before the Lord. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And these are verses that you're very well familiar with. But I want you to think in terms of acknowledgement. Think about what we are to acknowledge. Think about what we are to look toward. 14, verse 12, Jesus is talking to his men. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do what? Also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I what? Do. We read before in 1 John 14, according to whose will? His will. Anything you ask in my name, in his will, I will do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper, a counselor. Whoa, whoa. Now we have something. We don't have to go very far, do we? I think what we really need to do is acknowledge what you already have. Think about this for a minute. It's already within us. When we ask according to his will, listen. Listen. Learn to open your eyes and your heart and listen. Acknowledge what you already have. We already have the answers within. Because he's given us this helper, the Spirit of God we have. I love this. This is great. And he will send another helper that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I don't care what building you are, the UN or whatever. Because it does not see him or know him. But what? You know him because he abides with you and will be what? In you. Okay, now we've turned the corner. Now to acknowledge becomes a lot bigger. It's not just acknowledging an academic thing. It's acknowledging a relationship. It's not just academic anymore. It's a relationship. And this is the game changer. You want to do the works that Jesus did? You want to show forth his love that the Father had for the world? This is the game changer. We acknowledge what he has done spiritually within us. And as we acknowledge it and ask, and we shall be given, seek and we shall find, that door is going to open. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who you're running up against. It don't matter. You don't have to know. I don't want to know. Most of the time, it's a pain in the butt to know. You get yourself in a lot of hot water that you shouldn't be in because maybe you're asking the wrong question. You're taking matters in your own hands. Acknowledge what God has already done through the Spirit with the knowledge of the Word, and you have an edge that very few have. Because it's not about acknowledging an academic interpretation of God. It's an experiential relationship. And that's what he's always wanted from day one. God has wanted this from day one. It's about the relationship. And it's all about acknowledging what is already there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him is not going to perish, but they will inherit eternal life. So it's really acknowledgement. But now, not just through words, but through a relationship. This is how we can walk and get everything that we need taken care of according to his will, not our own, and live a life that you and I could have never dreamed of. Not only now, but in the age to come. Will you pray with me for a moment? Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done. We ask, Father, that you open the eyes of our understanding. You've given us of your Spirit. You sent your Son into the world that we may have life and have it abundantly. We ask, Father, that you continue to work within us by your divine intervention, inspiration, and revelation. I pray, Father, that you touch the lives of every heart here and manifest yourself to them in ways they never thought imaginable. Father, we love you. We love your word. We recognize what your Son has done, even though we don't totally understand it. It's beyond our comprehension. The sacrifice that he has made, the suffering that he went through on the cross. I don't understand it, Lord. I'm human. I don't understand it, but I know one day I will. Because you so loved us that you sent him so that we can have that relationship with you and that we could acknowledge the authority that you have within our lives and the power that we can manifest because of that wonderful, wonderful sacrifice that he has done. So, Father, we thank you for this day, for your word, and how it illuminates the heart of our soul and brings great joy and great expectation for what's before us. Father, help us. We're human. Help us with our temptations and all that we go through each and every day. I pray this, Father, and I pray for your people that you continue to work with us, Father, as your children, to love us and take care of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless. Amen.